Grace and peace be to you on this festive day in the church year. To our Lord Jesus Christ, the word from our Savior is from 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 12, as printed in your service folder. But God revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In the name of Jesus, your fellow redeemed, a miner once said to his pastor, "I would really like to be a Christian." But he said, I just can't believe that it's all free. That I'm getting something for nothing. It seems too cheap." And so the pastor replied to him, "Let me ask you, how did you get down into that mine today?" And the miner said, "Well, I got into the cage that lets all the miners down into the shaft, like I do every day." And the pastor then said to him, "How much did you pay to come out of the pit?" "Well, I didn't pay anything at all." So the pastor said, "Well, if that's the case, how could you trust in the safety of that cage if it didn't cost you anything? Wasn't it too cheap?" The miner said, "Well, no, it wasn't cheap at all. It didn't cost me anything. It doesn't cost the miners anything, but the company that sunk the shaft cost them a great deal." In the same way, you and I and all people have forgiveness of sins and salvation without money and without works, freely for nothing. It costs us nothing at all. The great price of it all was paid by God Himself when he was sunk deeply into that shaft, when He came down into this world, sent by the Father to suffer for the sins of the world on the cross. God sent His own Son down and sacrificed Him for the sins of us also. Truly, truly, the price of our salvation was great. Our salvation is expensive. It's not cheap. But it's free. And yet one of the main objections that people have to the gospel of Christ is that it's free. It's too cheap. And people reason, how can anything be worth anything at all if it costs nothing? And so they reject the gospel. And yet these same people have a whole lot that has been given to them for nothing. What have we come into this world with that cost us anything? Think of all the gifts that you have, your eyesight, your ability to walk and to talk and to use your arms to think. What did any of us do to earn some of the best gifts that we could possibly have? It was all freely given to us by the goodness of our God. It came to us for nothing. And yet when it comes to a person standing before God, he thinks he has to work and pay God. He's got to do it his own way. Natural man cannot possibly see that the greatest treasure in life is free. There's a reason for that, for our blindness by nature. Paul says it's this because this truth is not known through the spirit of this world. The Apostle Paul writes, "We have not received the spirit of the world." The spirit of the world is the spirit of pride. Man by nature is full of pride. And when this worldly spirit of natural man searches for God, it always searches for a God who is in the man's own image. Instead of saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," the natural spirit of the natural man in this world says, "Lord, hear, for your servant speaks." Because of this spirit, all heathen religions place confidence in their own wisdom, their own sacrifice, their own works. Because of this spirit of natural man, even heathenized Christianity trusts in Christ plus one's own devotion to Christ. This is the proud spirit that instructs and influences the whole world out there. People naturally say, and you've all heard it in some form or another, I stand where I am today, and I've earned everything that I have by my own labors, by the sweat of my brow. I'm a self-made man. And so when the seeds which they sow produce for them a great crop, or when the labor at which they work produces many blessings in life, what do they conclude? Well, they conclude the only thing they can conclude in their natural spirit, God is happy with them. I must be doing things right. Or the only other possibility is they don't think of God at all. It doesn't occur to the mind of the worldly spirit that his efforts, whether he's sowing seed or working at the drill press, whatever his efforts are, that they produce good things only because God continues to bless his labors and his sowing, so that the man might look to God and thank God for his goodness. This doesn't occur to the natural mind of man. As long as the invisible God continues to bless his life with material things, natural man will try to take the credit and despise the goodness and mercy of God. And yet these same superficial seers of God have all kinds of opinions about God. You ever notice that? They will say things to you like, they've read this book or that book. They've read all kinds of books that you and I haven't read. And these books are all about who is God? And what is God? And how does God work? And we read the Bible. But they've read all these other books. And they've got all kinds of opinions about God in their own image. And they're proud of those opinions. And they come across as being pretty sure that their opinions are correct. However, if you really listen, if you really dig down deep into their hearts, you will find that fear characterizes their worldly spirit. Oh, it's hidden, all right. It's like the little child that throws covers over him. He's really afraid, he's insecure, but he will tell all kinds of stories and he'll make all kinds of excuses to hide his fearful spirit. And so the world develops elaborate opinions about God, about how he smiles on those who at least try to live a good life. They try to love their neighbor as themselves. They make up these ideas. In their religions, the law never kills. The law just gives an example so that one can save oneself. But this spirit is really afraid, deep down. It's afraid that all the opinions that it has come up with about God, after all, may not be true. Usually it happens on their deathbed. It's afraid that the works that it has done may not be sufficient to escape the eternal punishment that they sense in their conscience is due because of their sins. The spirit of this world which lives in all people by nature, boasts and blabbers about God as if it knows everything about him, as if it stands firmly on the ground of its own righteousness. But the truth is, it cannot know the depths. It cannot know the heights. It cannot know the true nature or the plan of God's salvation for sinners. It hasn't a clue. And so Paul says in our text, we have received the Spirit who is from God. that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now that's pretty clear. You couldn't find a sharper distinction between the spirit of this world and the spirit that comes from God. Earlier, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." You understand what he's saying? If you want to know what I really think about you, I have to tell you. Otherwise, you can't know. And so also, if you're ever going to know what God really thinks about you, His Spirit has to tell you. His Spirit has to be sent from Him to you by the working of faith in God's Word. Otherwise, you can't know God or the depth of His love for you. Jesus once promised His disciples, "The Spirit shall take of mine and show it unto you." What did Jesus mean when He said that to His disciples? "The Spirit shall take of what is mine and will show it to you." He wasn't referring only to the moment in history that we're observing today called Pentecost. He was promising that His Spirit would continue to reveal to sinners His treasures, the treasures that exist for us in the deep things of God. "The Spirit will take of mine and will show it to you." In other words, the treasures that I have within me, and Paul says that all treasure is hidden in Christ. Those treasures, Jesus says, the Spirit will reveal to you, the deep things of God. Pentecostal churches like to preach the extraordinary gifts of the Spirit, such as tongues and healing. They want to make these out to be the extra special gifts of the Spirit which enable Christians to do more for God. And that God gives these special gifts so that they can do more for Him to those who pray hard enough to receive them. Well, they are extraordinarily wrong and misguided, sadly mistaken. The greatest charismata or gifts of the Spirit are not given so that we may do more for the Lord. These gifts were given so that we may know Him more deeply, so that He may abide in us with all His enlightening gifts, His joy, His peace, the assurance of forgiveness, the hope of heaven, the testimony that we are the children of God through faith in His Son. In other words, the deep things of God. The incarnation of Christ and its meaning for us is a deep thing of God, the very deepest thing of God. It's made known to us only by the Spirit of God. Many people who witnessed the miracles of Jesus, who then were there and saw His suffering and His death, many who still hear about it do not receive it by faith. Therefore, they do not know it. And they cannot grasp its depths. Instead, the spirit of this world sees nothing more than the tragic death of a good man. And it's all about emotion. But as the Spirit of God gives light and understanding through His Word, we learn of a wonder. A wonder so deep that Peter says even the angels desire to look into it. What is that wonder? The thing that you take for granted ever since your baptism. That God, the Holy One, sent His perfect Son into human flesh to die a horrible death for people like us, sinners, who deserve nothing but eternal damnation. That's the deep thing that even the angels look into. By the Spirit of God, through the Scriptures, we believe that He was made flesh, Christ, that He suffered and died for the sins of the world. We believe by the Spirit alone that Jesus arose from the dead, physically. And then he ascended into heaven to rule all things for the sake of his church. We know these things by the Spirit alone. And we are deeply convinced in our hearts that we are the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The Spirit has revealed the depths of God's love, which paid the full price for our sins. Having only the spirit of this world, how could you and I have possibly come to know that God punished his only Son for the sins of the world? That that you take for granted because of the Spirit's work in you is so extraordinary, so unknown to natural man, that it could never have been investigated. It could never have been found out by man. Though the world exists for billions of years, no man could know it, no history could record it. Impossible. However, as Paul says in Romans 5, the love of God for us has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's how you know it. So don't do this thing that we do from time to time. We say, why don't they get it? They don't get it because God's grace has been sent into your heart. That's why you get it. That's the question you should ask. Why do I get it? How do I understand it? How do I treasure the depths of this treasure? Because of God's grace alone. The operating of the Holy Spirit has nothing whatever to do with your intellect or your will or your devotion. The spirit of the world is a spirit of fear because it does not and cannot know the perfect love of God which casts out fear. John, 1 John 4. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, that is Father. The Spirit himself bearing witness with our own spirit that we are the children of God. One of the leaders of those who came out from false teaching churches nearly 50 years ago to form this congregation often said to me that unless it had been the Holy Spirit working through his word, this congregation would not have been created and it would not have been sustained through these years. That is no different today than it was 10 years ago. It will always be so. Much has changed in these many years since this congregation was formed. And not anything really for the better. The darkness has only increased in the spirit of this world, and the gospel of salvation is covered more and more by the darkness that has crept into the churches. This darkness will continue to make suspicious noises out there. And by the gracious working of the Holy Spirit, we will hear those noises. We will suspicion that they are not from God, but from the prince of darkness. And those opinions won't come from our own hearts. They'll come from the Holy Spirit through the Word. For we may say by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, my God is nothing but life and light to me. Amen. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, be pleased within our souls to rest. Come with your grace and heavenly aid and fill the hearts which you have made. Amen.